Welcome to a special edition of the Experience Darden and the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Jason Brewster. Jason is Director of Venturing for the Batten Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation here at the Darden School of Business, and he is a friend of the podcast. He's been on the podcast before. We recently welcomed him back to talk a little bit more about what he's been up to and the venture support resources available to students at the Darden School. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jason Brewster. Jason, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks. Glad to be back here, Brett.
It's great to see you. Last time we recorded one of these conversations, we were both sitting down in the media studios at the Darden School. A little different circumstances here. We're recording this via Zoom, but it's great to spend time with you as always. How have you been doing in the midst of everything?
In the midst of everything, I think pretty well. I think it's been exciting times for us, for me, for all of us as we see humans adapt, and especially with venturing and with everything else that they do in life.
Yeah, it was great to see. I mean, there's a lot of programming going on through the Batten Institute right now. I think it's a great example. I mean, we had Sean Carr here on the podcast back in the fall talking about how a lot of the programming that the Institute was sponsoring really kind of seamlessly shifted to virtual delivery, that there was a lot of possibility that was created by that delivery mechanism, reaching students across all programs here, full-time, residential, as well as executive MBA. And I know what we're going to talk about here is about sort of the venturing and the entrepreneurial end of things, but that was great to hear. How have you been sort of faring personally, though? You doing all right?
Yeah, I think Sean, as always, does a terrific job representing it. I mean, we've stayed steady as ducks, but underneath the feet are going feverishly fast as we adapt and drop and introduce programming. And I think he's done a really fabulous job, as well as my colleagues at the Batten Institute of just doubling, tripling down on programming and making sure that the Darden students, and by extension UVA students, have a full offering in our virtual environment.
Well, great. Have you picked up any hobbies, any pastimes here in the midst of the pandemic?
Well, if we went there, I could certainly, I think, occupy most of this podcast with all that I've been doing. I guess I'm a generation removed from agriculture, from being on a farm. So we've been doing a lot around that. I've gotten chickens. We have 22 chickens now. I've got more on the way. I'm going to be getting some cattle and doing some other things like that. But anyway, that's all an aside.
Well, Jason, let's be very clear here. We've had people talk about pets, you know, dogs mostly. We've had people talk about painting by numbers, puzzling, doodling. We have not had anyone talk about livestock. So we check yet another box off here on our admissions podcast. So thank you.
Anytime.
All right. Well, let's set the stage a bit before we kind of get into the substance of our conversation, which will really be about entrepreneurially related resources here at Darden. But tell us a little bit more about you. What's your role here at Darden, and how do you support students?
Sure. Well, I joined Darden, as you probably remember, in December. It was my 5-year anniversary. I'm sure you and others studied that, but yeah, it's been 5 years, and it almost seems unreal because it feels like I've just begun on a lot of the things that I'm interested in seeing happen at Darden. But my title officially is Director of Venturing, and I am one of the individuals on grounds that helps those student founders who have an idea and a hobby, whatever it is that they have found and enjoy doing, and they want to see evolve into a business. And so it's great to have an idea or a hobby, but where we really try to get the student founders is we try to get them to a point where they've got a minimum viable product, which means that hobby or idea, they can actually market and sell to others, and others see a value proposition. So I guess my job in a simple sense is to help bring ideas and hobbies to some kind of real thing that around which you can wrap a business.
And what brought you to this work? Such an interesting thing that you're helping support here. How did you get passionate about this?
Well, I guess immediately upon graduating from college, I joined a friend in Atlanta, and we built an entity there. And I've done several other ventures since, and it's kind of the world that I know. And what's so fun about doing this at Darden is that it's a way for me to take a lot of what I've learned along the way and share that with others. And I don't necessarily know, I mean, I certainly don't profess to know all the answers to anything out there. I mean, nobody can, but I do know some of the pitfalls, some of the ways of thinking, and especially with some of the frameworks like effectuation or design thinking or some of the work Alex Cowan does. It's all subject matter with which I can relate, and I probably have some experience with all or most of it.
So you mentioned Atlanta. What brought you to Charlottesville? Was it this role, or was it a role prior to this one?
Well, I got from Atlanta to Charlottesville circuitously. I got here by way of Palo Alto in the Bay Area, where I lived for many years. But we as a family had been in Palo Alto for years and wanted to get back to the East Coast. We have family here. We enjoyed our time. We were in Atlanta for almost 15 years, and wanted to be on our return back close to the DC area, and Charlottesville fit the bill.
All right, so one of the stories we've really focused on here on the podcast is around entrepreneurially oriented resources here. So, and by entrepreneurship, we mean as much sort of a mindset as a thing, but we're going to talk about, for students who are potentially interested in venturing, kind of trying out their ideas. We're also here recording this conversation in early March on the heels of one of the rounds of the E-Cup. We're going to have some of the student winners here on the podcast. So one of my favorite topics to talk about. We've also had you on the podcast before, Sean Carr, as previously mentioned. Robin Swift has been here, MJ Toms, David Tuvey. Try to get the whole cast of characters here. So how have the venturing resources evolved over the past few years here at the Darden School?
Yeah, I would say quite a bit in a half a dozen years. When I first arrived on grounds in this role, actually came about 6 months before I started in this position. I was a mentor for the summer at the iLab incubator before I then took over to run the incubator program itself. And at that time, I think it was more about an introduction to entrepreneurship and an introduction to basic frameworks, business frameworks that new entrepreneurs could learn and adopt to improve their chances or odds for a better outcome. And where I see that has evolved now is that a lot of that is available at Darden, across grounds in the classroom, and there's a lot of support on grounds, and I think for whatever reason, entrepreneurship is maybe not as opaque or unknown as it was previously. So I think what we've had to do is raise our game and improve our offering, and it evolves rapidly to keep up with where the student founder demand is.
And how has, I mean, so you mentioned, so students curricularly, maybe even extracurricularly, encountering some of these ideas around effectuation, design thinking, and you've mentioned sort of stepping up your game. So what does that look like progressively? Where did you start versus where are you now?
Sure, Brett. Well, one of the things we've most recently introduced is VPX, which is Venturing Project X, and that's something that I'm doing in collaboration with a number of my colleagues and Sean at Batten Institute. But in particular, I'm working closely with Robin Swift, who you mentioned, and Mary Andrews, and we've been introducing both VPX and VPX squared. And what VPX is doing is it's supporting students with independent studies And those students working on venturing independent studies at Darden can work with either Robin or me to have us support their idea, their venture in an academic sense. And what I'm doing is I'm working with students who are working on their own venture ideas, and Robin is working with students to support alumni ventures. But the outcome is similar in that students get a good academic exposure to the idea of business creation, venturing, in that we adhere closely to the Darden independent study framework, which is you stipulate an academic goal, you provide a plan, you have learning outcomes, and you have deliverables. And so we spend a lot of time up front in identifying what those four areas, how they look, and then executing those with the students.
It's interesting to hear you talk about independent studies, because I know from my conversations with executive MBA students who have this passion of, you know, potentially launching their own venture, independent study becomes a really popular way for students to work closely with a faculty member or somebody on their idea and kind of test out some thinking that they have. And so it's interesting to hear you talk about this.
Yeah, and we've supported quite a few this year. I think we're over 20 independent studies that we've supported between Robin and me. And we've had almost as many executive MBA independent studies as we have MBA. So I think between the residential and executive formats, the interest is strong.
Well, that's great to hear, because I'm again, hearkening back to that interview that I recorded with Sean Carr, and his emphasis was really meeting all students, serving all students, supporting all students, residential, full-time MBA students, as well as executive MBA students, and how this moment, the increasing sort of delivery across these kind of remote platforms, Zoom, this kind of stuff has created even more inclusivity with all these kinds of resources. And that obviously, you know, Batten for a long time had been opening entrepreneurial support to executive MBA students as well, but perhaps that has even accelerated further in this particular time.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Well, you've been working closely with these students on these independent studies. What have you enjoyed about this? In some ways, I think about this as like, well, this is what Darden is all about, right? This kind of close interaction between a faculty member or a mentor or somebody with significant experience and expertise and a student.
So I guess we've enjoyed it well enough that we decided to adopt and model the summer program that we've traditionally run, and it's traditionally been called an incubator, model it closer to the Darden Independent Study Framework, just because the results have been so much better. I think that it a lot more planning and understanding between us and the student founders has led to better results. And it allows us, again, to make this a much more directed or bespoke program so that we can meet the entrepreneur in whatever phase of the venture.
Well, it's interesting to think about Darden students, because I feel like there are entrepreneurs at various phases of this process, right? Some people try and just, is this a good idea? To people who already have an idea, they know that they have a viable product and they're trying to, you know, connect with customers, these kinds of things, all along the spectrum. Do you feel like Batten Institute is helpful at all these points of the journey?
Well, I'd say we're helpful at most parts of the journey. I think that at the outset, the best place for an initial idea to form or to get initial exposure is through a lot of the great courses that Sarah or Jean or Alex or others provide. And of course, I make it sound like we're very much behind those as well at Batten Institute. But I do think that some of that needs to emerge on their own, and they need to experiment and tinker a bit before we add too much formality around it. But I do think that that the ECUP Venture Launch, which we do, which is a regular gathering. It's just an informal ad hoc gathering of individuals every 2 to 3 weeks where we can just talk and listen. I think that meets people at the very earliest stages. And then I think later on is where the Venturing Project X and the VPX Squared, which is the new program we run in the summer, that's where we can meet those that are later stage.
It's interesting to think about sort of serving this kind of diverse student body and the ECUP versus, you know, this kind of independent study. How do you see all this fitting together? Like if you meet an entrepreneur, what role does, for example, the ECUP, which is, you know, UVA-wide competition, also includes students from UVA-wise as well. How do you think about that fitting in with some of these other things we talked about here?
Well, I think most of what we're doing, and especially the ECUP, provides a venue for some constructive feedback. So the ECUP always culminates in what's been in person, now it's over Zoom kind of shootout. But even leading up to that point, there's an application period where there are lots of individuals reviewing and providing feedback on ideas or at the discovery phase, the merits of the venture itself. And so I think the more the students can put their idea and what they aspire to do, first of all, get it on paper. Second, put it in front of people for constructive criticism. And third, even go and present it and own it and be passionate about their what they're doing and try to see if others that passion ignites something. I think these are all good ways that prepare students for a successful career in entrepreneurship or even intrapreneurship or other pursuits they may have post UVA.
It seems like those venture launch meetings are very much structured in that, right? Bringing people together and kind of creating that feedback loop.
We do, yeah. So the venture launch is typically everybody who joins us, we give the opportunity to introduce oneself, talk about a particular area of interest, whether it's starting something or maybe getting involved and supporting a startup, and then ultimately culminating in an ask. And we're really big on the effectual ask, which is to put out in front of as many people as possible what you're trying to accomplish and where you need help. Because as I think we've talked about before, the ask is one of those get off your seat and do things in that if you don't quite know what you need to do, then you need to be asking. Or if you do know what you need to do, you need to be asking. So you're either trying to learn from people what it is that is the need, or you need to learn from people and get people's support to actually build what you want to produce.
It's interesting to hear you talk about that. Every time I listen to this sort of effectuation conversation, what that looks like, it's always fascinating to me. It's the opposite of how I thought entrepreneurship worked, where it was somebody in a garage, by themselves for like a year tinkering away, and then had this great idea and went to market with it, and like, oh my gosh, it all worked out. Effectuation, it's not like that. You go to the users, right, to understand, or at least create that feedback loop for you in some right. way.
I guess as Hewlett and Packard were in their garage, I if I recall the story right, a young Steve Jobs called them and wanted to come. So I think people were effectual back then as well.
So it's interesting to hear you talk about this, because it also feels like part of the culture here is either you figure out if you got a good idea or you fail quickly, right? And then move on to another thing. I mean, is that too harsh to express it that way? I mean, when I think of failure, particularly within entrepreneurial communities, there's not a negative association with that. It's all part of a process, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm take a little different perspective on it. There's a guy I know fairly well, Jerry Kaplan. He wrote a book on the startup, And he had made the comment to me at one point when the topic of failure came up, and he said, well, the only way your business fails is if you stop doing it. And so I think that looking at a startup as either you're failing or you're succeeding at every milestone, I don't think puts quite the right emphasis on it. I think that what's happening is you're passionate about a particular problem. If you fail at knowing what the problem is, then that's a pretty big failure. So that's a pivot to a new business. But as long as you know what the need is and you can understand and appreciate that the need is sufficiently great, then you need to be constantly incrementing on a solution. And then ultimately, if you can't do it because it's maybe more, the solution is more elusive than you thought, or there are some kind of political or other reasons why you can't accomplish the solution, well, then you do fail. But we hope that people don't fail, and we feel like in most cases, there's success out there if you can stay committed and driven long enough and continue to adjust your solution to meet the market need.
It's interesting to think about sort of staying committed and, you know, resilient ultimately, mm-hmm. and adaptable. I don't know how much we've talked about that in prior entrepreneurially related conversations here on the podcast, but it seems like resilience is essential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's two essential ingredients. And, it's probably another podcast on if these are learned or you're born with them, but I think you could make arguments for either, but I do think resilience and curiosity are two ingredients that are, if you're not curious and you're not resilient, it's going to be really hard to be successful in entrepreneurship.
It's an interesting question around whether it's something you have or it's a muscle. I have to believe it's got to be like a skill like anything else. I mean, how we respond to adversity or else.
Sure.
I mean, so for entrepreneurs that you've worked with, those kind of setbacks, that kind of disappointment, I'm sure that comes for everybody at some point.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing the right thing, it will. I do find that I don't know how familiar you are with Dunning-Kruger. It's one of my favorites, but there is this notion that the less experience you have, the more confident you are. And I have found in the past that as people gain more experience and they learn how difficult something is that they're trying to do, they will often, it's like stepping out onto a scary ledge, they'll step back a little because it's more comfortable to be at the outset of a venture versus deeply involved. And there's a really good way of looking at it that what we all strive to do as entrepreneurs, if we're going to have a successful startup, is we want customers yelling at us. We want to be in the line of fire. We want to be providing services or products that they love, but they keep breaking because they're so early stage and we're getting that feedback. And if you think of any company out there, whether it's a company that makes dishwashers or restaurants that are serving meals, I mean, they hear people yell at them all day long. And that's the reality of being in a business that's making progress is you're making people unhappy along the way. But if you react to that and you take that feedback and you continue to plow that into your product or service, then it's just going to get better and better.
How do you get people comfortable with like listening to people being upset with them? I mean, you think it's just human nature, mm-hmm. right? We all want to make people happy by and large. You know, we don't like disappointing sure. people. We don't like upsetting people.
No, and the notion and the takeaway isn't that you want to go out there and make people upset. Not at all. You want to go out there and make people happy. But in trying to make people happy, you're inevitably going to make mistakes. And so I think that for all of us, one of the things that came out from an interview that I had done with Sarah Rumba, a prior Darden grad, years ago, was this idea of the KPI, which we all think of in a stable company is a key performance indicator. But for entrepreneurs, we really feel like it's the key passion indicator. And this is where there's, in addition to that curiosity and resilience, you have to be doing something you're really enthusiastic about that drives your passion. Because when you're not being rewarded with income, or you're not being rewarded in many other ways with glowing praises or otherwise, ultimately it's your own passion for a solution and to make something better that you need to keep driving forward.
How do you cultivate that curiosity? I mean, we talked about resilience. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's, from the curiosity standpoint, do you feel like that's something that you know, entrepreneurs continue to sort of cultivate and grow over the course of their work?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we do try to provide enough support and enough advice to where the founders can take and run with that and fuel their own curiosity. But sometimes I think there's a misalignment of what entrepreneurs are doing with their passion. And because of that, curiosity and resilience take a hit. I think ultimately the way we do it is we use frameworks like effectuation, because I think effectuation allows us to constantly be recentering around being means driven versus being causally driven. And when you're effectual, you're not saying, well, if I do X, Y, and Z, then I can do what I really want. You're saying, well, forget X, Y, and Z. What is it you can do today? And constantly be working off of your means. And as you meet more people, you learn more stuff and your own passion and perspective evolve, then you have new means. And so I guess the way that you support entrepreneurs best is by being effectual, which is in advocating for them to work within their means and do things now.
One of the things I've gotten really interested in is the sort of these twin values that a lot of leaders have, sort of self-doubt, right? Mm-hmm. You constantly ask questions about, you know, is this the right thing? Should I be doing something different? You know, and also just the belief that you'll find a way through something. And I wonder, imagine, you probably see this with entrepreneurs all the time, right? You kind of walk this balance, this sort of emotional thing where people are having to ask tough questions about what they're doing, but also, you know, you have to pursue something like this. You have to have to believe in the work.
Yeah. And I do think that, there are lots of indicators. I mean, having done this now for almost half a dozen years, I've worked with a number of entrepreneurs. And one thing that I can say is when people start having doubts and, I don't know, Jason, can I really do this? Or this seems to be beyond my skill set or otherwise, those are usually strong signals. And as somebody gets deeper and deeper into the subject matter and into the solution and into what that individual or individuals are trying to accomplish, only then do you really understand the gravity and the demand to be successful. And so I think when you hear people doubting their ability to achieve something, that's a very strong signal that they're making progress. And it's an indicator that they are actually, as the saying goes, barking up the right tree.
That is almost paradoxical to think about. Fascinating how that works. You know, I'm doubting myself. I'm not sure, and yet making progress at the same time.
That's right.
Well, what would you want someone listening to this podcast who thinking about a venture or, you know, passionate about entrepreneurship, what would you want them to know about the resources here at Darden?
Sure. So I think starting, of course, at Homebase, which is Batten Institute, I think that while at Darden or by extension at UVA, really consider all that's offered here. If you've got an entrepreneurial interest, whether you have an idea or you're pre an idea or you're post an idea and you have maybe some initial adopters or customers, I think it is, it's important to get engaged. If you have that idea or you have that venture, then by all means, pursue ECOP. You absolutely should. If you are just curious about entrepreneurship, then come to Venture Launch. That's a very low commitment. You come, you can meet other people through the call, and those have been really good opportunities. As I mentioned earlier, we're introducing some new programs that are going to find those individuals who are coming out of the class, or they have an idea that's emerged, but yet they aren't to an MVP. So we're seeking ways to support them, and then through MJ Toms, who connects with students and gets them connected to alums and make sure that they understand what's offered at Darden to Gosha and her work with Ideas to Action, to Robin Swift and what she's doing with Batten Presents and pulling some of the best entrepreneurs out there to share their stories and be supportive. I think there's just a world of great things. I think what you're doing with the podcast is terrific. And Sean has done a number of interviews as well. And David has Catalyst, which supports the community at large. So I think there's just so many great things happening at Batten Institute. And then Darden, I think Darden should be really proud of itself. It's really introduced some great courses. It has some of the top professors in the world, really, who are studying and writing research and leading Coursera online. I mean, there's so much that's happening Darden-wise. And then, of course, UVA as a whole is quite committed to entrepreneurship.
Well, I have to ask this question, Jason, because I'm a book nerd and I enjoy reading, and maybe our listeners are too. I always think with these kinds of things, you know, stories and books are helpful. If someone was interested in, you know, reading a bit more about entrepreneurship or just, you know, books that you've enjoyed that have touched on the topic, are there any that immediately come to mind?
Well, there's certainly books that are my go-to. I think Jason Fried has a number of great books. He has one called Getting Real, which is intended toward those doing software projects, but I find it's really great for anybody. And that's available for free. If you just Google it online, you can find it through the Basecamp site. I think certainly our professors at Hess has written a number of great books. Gene Litka certainly has, Alex Cowan, Saris. I really like the Effectuation textbook that really illustrates and brings you through the whole journey of effectuation. So there are a lot of resources out there if people want to read about entrepreneurship.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for all that you're doing to support students at Darden. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate your indulging my deep question, thought-related things. Like, what do you think about this? Thank you. I know we went off script a little bit there, but it's such an interesting topic. And the thing that I'm always fascinated about the work that you do is you're working with students early on, typically, in their venturing. And, you know, there's setbacks and that sort of thing. And just to hear how people navigate that is fascinating to me.
We try to be there, and we definitely want to increase students' odds of success here, and even if it's not with this venture, hopefully with a future one.
Well, Jason, I have one last question for you, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. I have a hunch, but you know, you're a lot closer to it than I am. How have you seen entrepreneurial interest amongst Darden students grow over the past few years?
Well, since I've arrived, I really feel like the recent interest and tremendous growth of amongst Darden students is palpable. I mean, the amount that the Darden students are creating new ventures and compelling ventures at that has been on a pretty dramatic increase. I think you've seen that borne out in the E-Cup applications and those that are the finalists and winners. And I think that we're seeing that in the interest and application to VPX and all of our programs and Darden students for many reasons I think are really strong right now and poised to be the strongest I've ever seen.
Gosh, I have to ask the follow-up question now. Why do you think this is? I mean, do you think it's just timing? You alluded to a few different reasons maybe in your mind. I wonder why it looks this way.
Well, of course, any of this would be qualitative and certainly conjecture, but I think it's been a strong and committed interest from Batten Institute, from the professors, from a wide range of people I have in my mind. I mean, I hesitate to mention anyone because I'm sure I'll forget people, but it has been a pretty wide level of support going above and beyond. I mean, we're talking calls in the evenings, the weekends, supporting students when they have Kickstarter campaigns, supporting them with our own resources and relationships. And I think that overall the Darden community has been very giving to students who have bona fide needs. And it has even been a lot of our own personal capital that we put in there, you know, beyond financial, just who we know and what we're willing to do and how I think so many of us are willing to roll up our sleeves to see these students succeed.
Well, we'll absolutely entertain conjecture here on the podcast. That is no problem. We do conjecture, we do qualitative, do anecdata, whatever you want to share. And also, no surprise to hear that entrepreneurship at Darden, like so many things, is a team sport.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, stay safe, Jason. Thank you again, and have a great rest of the day.
Thanks.
And that was my interview with Jason Brewster, Director of Venturing for the Batten Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.